So, Lars, some concluding remarks. Where to go from here?
Thank you, Torgny. It's always a difficult task to summarize this debate. At the same time, I must say that I noticed that it helps me a lot in stay awake, of course, but also in remembering afterwards what's taken place in the seminar when I am forced to focus on everything that's being said in the meeting. So I always accept these invitations for that reason. And particularly so this time, since it's a subject that I have had some reasons over the years to think a little bit about. I will, of course, not summarize the whole discussion, but try to give you some reflections on what has been said here. First of all, I think it's clear, I mean, everybody underlined that, Professor Humphrey, Professor Ndugu, Anders Borg, and so on, everyone talked about the fact that Africa is rising, and of course that in itself speaks for an increasing need of financing. If you add to that the capital labor ratio from the start is relatively low, and the fact that the demographics are such that the labor force increases very, very rapidly, then one understands that the need for financing is very large. And Anna Rioth added the aspect here of what it would mean if one did not succeed in employing these generations that are coming out. So clearly we have a challenge here. What can then be the role of the development bank as the African Development Bank? And generally speaking, there all these development banks have really two kinds of advantages, you could say. One is a basic financing model here. The fact that they are sort of self-financing vehicles through the guarantees that the governments give for the loans. They can borrow very, very cheaply, and then they can also lend relatively cheaply, and at the same time they can manage to finance competence buildings within the institutions. So this is clearly one of the advantages, and Professor Humphrey points to some of the difficulties here now when the kind of lending that generates the money is not growing. Well, then you have a problem. And that can be a structural thing, of course, as it seems to be in this case. It's often actually a cyclical thing as well, which I think is a drawback of this financing model. I'm old enough to have gone through, I think, two cycles within the IMF. When people are really worrying that the financing disappears, and then suddenly it increases enormously due to a financial crisis. So there is at least one good aspect of a financial crisis. It helps the development banks going. But that's the only one. So that's a weakness in this financing model. But nevertheless, I think that is an advantage. That's the reason why it can stay in business. And it could do that even if the other arguments, which are the ones that I will now come to, even if they would not be of any importance, still it would then help generate money that would go into Africa. But the other arguments, I think, are also important. And one here is that it can help financing things that are not financed otherwise. I mean, that's what you call the gaps, I suppose. And another one is that it can have a specific competence that other institutions cannot have due to this particular financing model I was just talking about. And thirdly, it can have some sort of local governance. I mean, you have the governments in the area involved. Now, if one looks at these three arguments and relate them to the discussion we had, when it comes to the gaps, I think many of you were of the opinion that they are still there. Of course, one would think that given the developments in Africa in general, the financial sector would also develop and there would be less gaps than, let's say, there were 20 years ago. But you all seem to agree that the infrastructure, not least, is an area where there still are gaps. Also, Professor Humphrey talked about innovation. And it was not 100% clear to me, but that could be related to this. There might be gaps that, you know, could be found if one were more innovative. You then touched on the risk thing, and there I tend to be in Bo Hjelmström's camp. I mean, having gone through a few economic crises, it is always a sobering experience. And if you've done that, one probably wouldn't immediately go for the idea of increasing the balance sheet via increasing the risks. One would want to find other gaps, if I put it that way, than higher risks. When it comes to the specific competence, I mean, you underlined that there were problems in that area. And I can't judge that, and no one else really commented on that. But I, you know, that's clearly, you know, of course, something one could say, you know, we need to do something about it. And then you say it has to some extent to do with governance. And there, of course, again, one would think that the improved governance of African states on the average would have a positive effect on the governance of the bank, to the extent that it's the shareholders that are the you know, that are the main drivers in the institution. And there can be, of course, other aspects of governance that one needs to think through. And in that area, I haven't heard, you know, that many comments coming up. But my take on this is that yes, there is a need of increasing financing. Yes, the African Development Bank could probably play a rather important role, but it would then need some improvements in the way that is functioning. And that leads over to something we have not really discussed very much. Ulrika touched on that, but what role can then Sweden play in this kind of process? And there I have to say that I am a little bit pessimistic, in the sense that when in government or in the central bank, I often heard the argument that, you know, we should give a lot of money to these institutions because by giving more money we could play a larger role. And in principle I agree with that. I think it's true. Sweden has in the development world played a larger role than we would have done had we not been such a good contributor as we have often been. But it also requires a will to do something, and it requires competence with that money. And there I am a little bit more doubtful. You know, the will needs to come from the political side, and it needs to come from the bureaucratic side of the people working with it. And I don't doubt that there is some will there, but when it comes to the politicians, what happens in their own countries are so much more important than the extra effort they have to put into pushing an issue in a development bank or for that matter, the European Union budget. You know, this is just a marginal thing from the scene of a domestic politician. You can have one now and then who has broader interests, you know, but on the average, I don't expect too much from the Swedish politicians in terms of it's not because of them, but the way the structure is set up. So then it will depend a lot on the bureaucracy. And there I think that we have had the tradition of having reasonably competent people, but they are not challenged. If I think, look at how it looks like in Sweden, you have a little group in the finance ministry working with IMF. The rest of the finance ministry has a turnover of every 6 years or so. But in that group you had people working for 30 years. And they were rarely challenged. And I would think that there is the same risk in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs without knowing much about it. So I think it would be worthwhile thinking about how one puts some pressure on the people working with this to really force them to be on their toes and really push things so that we could play a role which was as large as our financing part in these institutions. Now, of course, I have a perfect ending here, that this is sort of the role of this report, of course. It is to help challenge, in some way, the communities within Sweden who work with these things. I think we could do a lot more, and we could play a more active role here. And I hope that this seminar has contributed a little bit, at least on the margin of that. So, with that, thank you, all of you who participated in this. Okay, fine. So we can put that in the little list that we have on impact.
Direct impact of this.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you so much, all of you, for coming. And in particular, of course, you, or those of you who came and participated, and you came a long way. So thank you, and hope to see you again at some similar seminar here in the future.
Yes, watch out for new seminars and our website on EBA, and you will find new, more fantastic, interesting volumes. Thank you.